From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As he approaches the conclusion of the series, Dr. Cairns is dealing with ways in which Christians can sin against the Spirit. There are three texts for this message, Acts 5:9, Ephesians 4:30, and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In a message entitled, Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit, Dr. Cairns warns the people of God never to take the things of God for granted, or to become careless about them. The first text deals with the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. Not only did their sin involve hypocrisy, but it affected the entire church's well-being. Dr. Cairns will return to this message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to answer the question, why are church prayer meetings important? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The importance of a church prayer meeting. Is it important? Why is it important? Is it ordained of God? Or is it something that we can do without? Can you simply say, well, I'll pray at home and I'll not bother with a prayer meeting? Well, remember this. We go back to the New Testament and we find the early church. Now, what the early church did as far as doctrine and practice is certainly the pattern that a good church today would seek to emulate. We find the doctrine of the early church is the very doctrine we are called upon to support and maintain today. But what about the practice of the early church? Acts chapter 1 commences with the people of God waiting for the day of Pentecost, and these all continued with one accord in prayer. When the Spirit of God came upon them, it was upon a people in prayer. The church was born in prayer. You follow through the story of the church in the book of the Acts. Come to chapter 4. You'll find that when they were under persecution, what did they do? When the apostles got released, they came right back to the church and they had a prayer meeting, praising God for the privilege of being able to suffer for Him. You come to Acts chapter 12. Peter's in prison. James has just been murdered. What happened? We read in Acts chapter 12 that prayer was made without ceasing of or by the church unto God for Peter. When Peter got out of prison, the angel opened the prison gates and brought him out. He went to the home of John Mark, and what was happening there? The church was having a prayer meeting. When Paul went to Philippi, what did he do? He went to the place where prayer was wont or accustomed to be made. The early church was a church that majored in great prayer meetings. And every great movement of the Spirit of God through history has been a movement vitally associated with powerful times of prayer. Not just individuals meeting with God, which is certainly important, and the church prayer meeting does not take the place of the individual place with God. But when the church meets to pray, that is a time when they seek God for corporate blessing. Matthew Henry once said that when God purposes to bless His church, He sets His people a-praying. We have New Testament evidence of that. We have the New Testament pattern for that. And I would say that the only thing that keeps people away from the church prayer meeting and keeps churches from having a real church prayer meeting is worldliness, their busyness with the things of this life that take precedence over the things of God. It's not much wonder the church is in the mess it's in today with so little spiritual power when it has so little time as a body to take with God, to seek His face and invoke His blessing. We must, as a church, give ourselves to prayer.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Ananias and Sapphira sold their possession. Nobody asked them to sell it. And as Peter told them, when they did sell it, nobody asked them for the money. But they came into this communal life that the people of God were then practicing. And they said, there's all our possession. And of course that meant they were going to live entirely out of what was held in common by the entire group. But they lied. They just gave a portion, hoping not to be found out, of course. But Peter spoke to them very, very bluntly. Why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You have not lied unto man. You have lied unto God. To tempt the Spirit was to lie to the Spirit. It was the sin of hypocrisy. It was the sin of putting on the show. The sin of making a grand profession before man in the name of the Lord. And yet all the time before God Himself, living in a very opposite way. The sin of hypocrisy. That was their sin. But theirs was a very peculiar sin of hypocrisy. It was such a sin as to hurt the operation of the church, which was particularly the sphere of the Holy Spirit's working with power and blessing. You see, these finances that were coming in for the smooth running of the church in all its operations and all its needs. This money that was coming in was to enable the work of God to go forward and keep going forward to meet the needs of the people of God in all their different personal necessities as well as the collective needs of the whole body. And by the action of Ananias and Sapphira, the church was being robbed. The individual believers were being robbed. The whole work of God, to some degree, was being hurt. The Spirit of God was jealous for this sphere of His operation. This is why their sin is called lying, not to men, but to God, the Holy Spirit, and tempting the Spirit of God. It was not a sin of ignorance. It was not a sin that one would just slide into. It was a sin not even of words, but a sin of deep purpose and a sin of deliberate action. And very clearly it called forth the judgment of God. It was tempting the Spirit of God, tempting Him to judgment, tempting Him to swift retribution. Now that should tell us something that every Christian needs to hear. I'm going to leave aside this morning the entire question as to whether Ananias and Sapphira could ever have been saved. I'm going to leave that aside, for Peter doesn't take it up here at all. They were certainly in the church. They were in the church when the church was at its zenith. They were in the church in the midst of the greatest revival that God has ever sent to the earth. They were in the church when the Holy Spirit was more clearly manifesting the fullness of His miraculous power than at any other time, even in the New Testament period. They were there when heaven came down to earth. So whether they were saved or whether they weren't, we leave aside. And we learn this. It is a fact that in the very best of churches, under the very best of circumstances, with the greatest possible incentives to do right, there are some who bear the name of Christ and they are guilty of crass hypocrisy. We can see them here in Acts 5, and we will have them in every age of the church's life. Now, God hates hypocrisy. He hates hypocrisy. He says, if you're a hypocrite in the church, if you're making a fair pretense to men, if you're making a verbal profession before men, but your heart is in the darkness of rebellion against God, you're a liar to your God. A liar to God. You tempt His Spirit to move with speedy vengeance. We ought to learn that hypocrisy is a great evil that God hates. But more than that, every Christian should learn from this the great sin of sapping the energy of the Church of Christ and destroying to some extent its usefulness. That's a sin against the Holy Ghost. We ought to mark here the very close identification of the Holy Spirit and the church, so that when you destroy the inner purity of the church, when you hurt
the witness of the church, when you sap the energy of the church, when you introduce alien forces into the church, you are not merely sinning against a pastor and an elders board and the congregation, but, says Acts 5, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. Because God the Holy Spirit is not an American individualist. And I use those words very carefully. If I were in Britain, I would put it another way, but I'm not in Britain. I'm preaching to Americans. The hallmark of so much that goes under the name of Christianity today is the great individual, the great evangelist, the great communicator, the great this, the great that, and it's man, the individualist. God, the Holy Spirit, is not such an one. Now, he uses individuals peculiarly, in a great way. But I want to tell you this, and I'm not wanting to in any way hurt your sensibilities, or I'm not wanting in any way to digress, but it's something that's peculiarly difficult for Americans, especially American fundamentalists, to understand. With all the social and political and historical emphasis on independence, and I have no criticism for that in its political and social implications, it is difficult for American believers to understand that God the Holy Spirit is not wedded to this individualistic, independent attitude. God the Holy Spirit identifies his action peculiarly with his church. We're not just a bunch of individuals running in different directions. The Church of Jesus Christ, as I read this Bible, is the great vehicle through which the Holy Spirit operates. I tell you, be it this preacher, or one of his elders, or one of his deacons, or one of this people, be it whoever it may, if we would dare to rob the Church of Christ of its energy for God's service, if we would introduce into it that which would destroy its usefulness, oppose its work and oppose its witness, by word or by action, we are sinning against the Holy Ghost. It's a serious thing, this. The consequences are serious. They're serious for the church. If God doesn't step in to remove such a cancer, it'll destroy the church in its local expression here anyway. And if God were to save the church from that, then for the individual, there's either chastening or removal. Either is a sin unto death. You couldn't read the story of Ananias and Sapphira and not realize it. I know men, and I believe God snuffed out their lives because, as Christians, their testimony was bringing great dishonor to Jesus Christ and was blighting the whole witness of the church. It's chastening or removal. God the Holy Spirit will protect the instrument which God has decreed as the vehicle of his blessing, communicating the gospel of Christ until he has fulfilled his purpose. Tempting the Holy Spirit. I wonder, my friend, this morning, where you stand in this. wonder about the reality of your spiritual profession. God only knows that. Nobody looking at Ananias and Sapphira knew they were one whit different from anybody else up until this point. I look out in this congregation this morning, I can't see your heart. Neither can you see mine. But God sees them both. I wonder where you stand in this regard this morning. What about your profession? Is it just fair words? Backed up by a mass of corrupting hypocrisy? Or is it the real thing? Does it ring true with God? Oh, I trust you'll examine your heart in this. For hypocrisy is tempting the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.